This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMayo. Having left St. Louis behind, Private Robinson set out on his first mission into the West. Along the Santa Fe Trail, as so many Americans, traders and trappers and scouts and soldiers, had done before him since a Missouri man had first carved out the route in 1821, after word had traveled north that Mexico, having freed itself from Spanish rule, was open for business. Now in June of 1846, Private Jacob Robinson of New Hampshire rode out with the 1st Missouri Mounted Volunteers, one of 500 new recruits, eager to cross the continent and take the Southwest away from Mexico. They marched 15 miles a day most days, following the hoof and footprints of earlier expeditions, the rutted paths carved out by wagon wheels, now greened over and wildflowered, Kansas unfurling in all directions, the shush of tall grass, the buzz of summer bugs, the air, Private Robinson would write. And Private Robinson, the son of a newspaper man, could write. He wrote that a shout of joy ran through all the ranks as they inhaled the clean air of the green and sunny prairie. He would remember, 1,000 miles on and beyond, that rush of a relief, that feeling of being finally free of the confinement of the fort, marching in circles, all the drills and the dust now behind them, now replaced by open fields and endless sky, an air sweet with primrose and lavender and prairie flocks, distant campfires, the sounds of creeks and of chickadees. An entourage of civilians accompanied them, coopers and wheelwrights and farriers and the like, men and some women who knew the trail, who would wait at its head looking to attach themselves to a wagon train who could pay for their particular expertise, or provide safety in numbers for a trip through country claimed by the United States, but uncontrolled. For the volunteers, everything was new and they were making good time on flat ground. The Rockies, the desert, were still just stories they'd heard. They came upon places where native bands had spent the nights before. Fresh prints, extinguished fires, tamped grounds where tents had stood and horses had lain. They'd pass farms and villages and gardens, other tribes leading other lives. Hear other languages, and English too, learned by the Shawnee and Delaware from other travelers. And Jacob Robinson, the private, the writer's son, would see at least one of those communities, a tribe whose name he didn't note or didn't know, and thought they seemed to enjoy a better way of life, he'd write, out there on the wide, wild prairie, where the flowers grow, the birds sing, and nature is decked in beauty, than the one his own people had brought to the continent. Then on the 18th day of their deployment, some 500 miles into a trip that would take them 3,000 more in what would become the longest march by an army since Alexander the Great's, a march that would take them to the foot of jagged peaks that stretched heavenward and left the Easterners dumbstruck, that would have them marching for days over ground that shuddered and cracked above cities dug by prairie dogs, and over sand that burned their feet through their shoes, that would see 2/3 of their horses die of exhaustion, of malnutrition, or felled by coyotes in the night, saw others wander off and take to the wild. A march that would see them fight a Mexican battalion twice their own size and win and take El Paso, and another as much as 4 times their own number and take Chihuahua, and would have them sailing to New Orleans and up the Mississippi back home, 1 year and 5,500 miles later. A landmark appeared in the distance. Pawnee Rock loomed at the edge of the horizon up from the flat of the land. Impressive in that context, though it was little more than 100 feet at its tallest point, no taller than a decent oak tree. For decades, likely centuries, it had been the site of battles and of peace councils between Comanche and Kiowa and Pawnee and Cheyenne and Arapaho, But by then, when the men of the Army of the West came upon it, it was mostly a sign that you were going the right way. A place to find some shade en route to Santa Fe, and water your horses at the creek that ran beside it. There were many names chipped into its face, some painted in a mixture of tar and animal fat, left by travelers who'd passed that way before. And so in July of 1846, Private Robinson climbed Pawnee Rock, maybe to find a good place to carve his own name. And not knowing that just a few years later, another traveler on his way to claim his own plot in what would then be American lands, would write that there were so many names in the rock that there wasn't room for his. Robinson climbed not knowing that a town would be incorporated right there called Pawnee Rock, a stop on the railroad that would roll through there just 20 years later. Not knowing that the Shawnee and the Delaware and the unnamed tribe he so admired at the edge of the frontier wouldn't be there for much longer. Or that the rock he was climbing would someday be shorter, by maybe 40 feet, because a road crew would need that stone in the next century to pave part of the prairie and lay down what would be U.S. Highway 56 that can take you from Kansas City to Santa Fe in 11 hours and change, depending on traffic. And Private Robinson reached the top of Pawnee Rock and looked out to the west, vast and unknown, and saw a herd of buffalo, a quarter million strong, the grandest sight I ever beheld. Every acre was covered until in the dim distance, the prairie became one black mass, extending to the horizon, going on forever. This episode of The Memory Palace was written and produced in stuff by me, with engineering assistance from Elizabeth Aubert. I get research assistance from Eliza McGraw. The show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of independent podcasts trying to keep the medium free and open, as so many investment firms and media conglomerates look to put up a parking lot. You can find out more about the other Radiotopia shows, including our friends at The Truth, a dynamite show of short audio fiction, which just launched a new series that you just might love. Go to radiotopia.fm to find out more. As always, you can follow me at The Memory Palace on Twitter and on Facebook, or drop me a line at nate@thememorypalace.org. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia.